This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to the post-game edition of the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. I'm Wildcat Authority Senior Editor Jason Shear, and Arizona coming off a 90-65 win over Oregon State. And really, it went as expected. I guess you could say the only surprise was the fact that Oregon State led for 5 minutes. There were four lead changes in the game, but when one team leads for 5 minutes, but the other team leads for 34 minutes, it's really not that big of a deal. Arizona started off a little slowly with turnovers, was turning the ball over too much in the first half, and really, it was the type of game where it felt where at halftime, Arizona was up 44-36, and it felt like if it's just cleaned a couple things up, the game would basically be over, and that's exactly what happened. I mentioned turnovers. Arizona had 9 turnovers in the first half, only 3 in the second half. Assists had 10 each half, rebounds, pretty similar numbers, 3-point shooting, shot 30% in the second half, which isn't great, but it's still better than the 28% for the game, 51% in the second half. It was a better effort, I guess you could say. When you kind of compare the halves, the difference between the first half and the second half, you see that, guys stepped up. Azulis Tabellis had 8 points in the second half versus 2 in the first. Kirk Creasa, 8 in the second half versus 3 in the first. Christian Coloco, 8 in the second half versus 4 in the first. Justin Kyer, 6 versus 2. Field goal percentage, you take a look. Azulis didn't make a field goal in the first half, 3 for 4 in the second. Kerr made 1 shot in the first half, 3 for 7 in the second. Christian Coloco, 1 for 3 in the first half, 3 for 5 in the second. Pelle Larsen, 1 for 6 in the first half, 1 for 1 in the second. And really, you kind of go down the line, and that's pretty much, it was a big difference between halves. And just overall, you could tell that, one team just, kind of took care of the ball and was able to turn it on in the second half. And Oregon State just isn't that type of team. Oregon State isn't good enough to kind of turn things around. And, when you're talking about pure talent, which I always mention, in college athletics especially, the team that is more talented is very often going to win the game unless something goes terribly wrong. And in this case, the thing that could have gone terribly wrong was Arizona's first true road game. People forget that. It's not a crazy environment, but this was Arizona's first true road game of the season. Weird things happen at Oregon State. You never know, right? You take a look at Jared Lucas, scored 17 points, made 5 threes. He's not that type of player. Added 5 rebounds, but he also turned the ball over 7 times. Worth Alatiche, great player, 14 points, 9 rebounds. Didn't turn the ball over, played well. But then you kind of go down the line, and there wasn't that third guy. And Wayne Tinkle tried to kind of change the lineup, put it to Sean Davis in the starting lineup, but he went 3 for 10. Did have 8 assists, but also turned the ball over 4 times. Roman Silva, 6 and 4, but Akano put him in the starting lineup, didn't do anything, had 4 turnovers, no field goals made, 1 assist, just didn't play well. And then the bench, Gianni Hunt has struggled all year. They want more from him. He's turned into a guy that they started, is now playing 10 minutes a game. Maurice Kalu, scoreless. And even the guys off the bench that scored, Oregon State had 17 points off the bench, but Arizona had 26. And the reality is that the bench deserves a lot of credit for how Sunday night went. And the reason for that is that when Arizona struggled a little bit to start the game, Tommy Lloyd went to the bench, and Umar Ballo, even though, it's 5 points, 5 rebounds, he really calmed things down. Came in, played his butt off for 16 minutes or so, played very well in the first half, right? And so the first half, he comes in, finishes with 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 for 2 shooting, two steals. Yeah, he turned the ball over twice, but he really kind of changed the game with his ability to really be physical in that first half. Kim Akin is another guy, played 8 minutes in that first half, had 5 points, had a three, got an assist, got a rebound. Justin Kyer played well off the bench. Pella struggled shooting, but did have the three-point play to kind of get some momentum there. And so when you're looking, and Daylon Terry's 1-for-3 in the first half, and Azulis doesn't hit a field goal, and Kerr is 1-for-5, and Christian Coloco's 1-for-6. The performances by Kyer, by Bala, by Kim Akin, that's a big deal. I mean, three steals, you know, 5 points, three steals, hit a three, Kim Akin, that's pretty legit for what they needed. And 15 bench points in the first half, it's a good deal, right? 16 for 24 on layups. That goes back to what I mentioned, them struggling a little bit. Overall, when you're 16 of 24 on layups, you could be better, right? And so basically what it comes down to is they struggled in the first half. Kirk Reese said that they had a little difficulty with the zone defense, but once they figured that out, and I know what you're thinking when I say they had some difficulty with the zone defense, so make sure you get those Sean Miller comments in. But figured it out, and once that happened, it was kind of over. And, you know, like I said, Oregon State's just not good enough to keep up with Arizona when Arizona is playing well. Ben Mathurin, when he has 29 points on 11 of 18 shooting, has one turnover, adds three rebounds, three offensive boards. And Tommy Lloyd said once he saw Ben grab the offensive board, the first one early in the game, he knew it was going to be a good night for him. And he's been pretty consistent, Tommy Lloyd has, saying with Ben that when Ben rebounds, he knows that the rest of the game is going to come. And they know Ben. We all know Ben has the ability to score. It's how can he impact the game in other ways? Can he consistently rebound? Can he consistently defend? And we've seen spurts of that last season. And even this season, he's been a little inconsistent. But when he rebounds and he's defending, he is a very, very good guard, no matter who the opponent is, right? I don't care if it's Oregon State or the Gonzaga or UC, whatever it's going to be. He's going to play well when he's really turned on in other parts of the game. Daylon Terry is another guy. His stats, I'll just kind of go through the players. They don't jump out to you. He only played 21 minutes, but still had the 5 assists, 2 points, and was in on a lot of plays. Azulis Tabellis, like I mentioned, not a great game for him. Finished with 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 turnovers. It felt like early in the game he was kind of pushing things a little bit with the turnovers, right? He was kind of trying to make things happen. The 2 turnovers that he had in a row, kind of forcing the issue to Christian Coloco, and it just didn't really work out. Oregon State did a nice job kind of playing the lob and trying to take that away from Arizona, and Azulis was kind of forcing the issue, which he doesn't need to do. The offense is better when you kind of let the offense come to you instead of forcing the issue overall. Kirk Kreisa was not good in the first half. That's the best way to say it. Just did not play well in any facet in the first half. Was 1-for-5. Actually started 1-for-8, I believe, and 1-for-7 from 3. His assists, he had 2 assists to 1 turnover, just really wasn't doing much. And the second half was much better. And the difference is real simple. When Kerr's feet are set, and you can say this for most players, when his feet are set, he's a considerably better shooter than when his feet aren't set. So when he takes those shots off the dribble or off the screen and he's off balance, it just feels like they're unlikely to go in. When he's set, like he was in the second half, his rate is going to go in. And 2-for-5, 40%, that's really all Arizona needs from is 40%. He's at like 33 for the season right now. If they can get up to 40% on a consistent basis, which is asking a lot, it's a pretty high number relatively speaking, but if they can get to that number overall, obviously they'll be a much better team for it. With Christian Coloco, it's funny because, you know, we'll say, oh, he didn't play all that great, but then you look and he finished with 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 block shots and a steal in 22 minutes, right? So, and still shot 50% from the field. 2 offensive rebounds, and really, he was fine. You know, he didn't go out and do the 18 and 12 or whatever it may be, but he's not going to be able to do that every night. His plus minus, which is a stat I absolutely hate, but I'll use it, was 17. You're just fine. But again, hate that stat because it's, it works maybe in like hockey or whatever, but in basketball, it's kind of like a fake stat. Pelle Larsson did not play well, played better in the second half, but struggled. Again, the shot's struggling. But, you know, when you look at him, and Tommy Lloyd will say it, that they feel that the other parts of his game are pretty good and the offense will eventually get there. I mean, you take a look at what he did. Yeah, he shot 2 for 7, but he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, right? Plus minus 17, again, if you're keeping track. But 2 offensive rebounds, had the nice 3-point play. He'll get there. I'm on that train. I might look really stupid eventually. I know we're getting to the point where it's like, all right, it's been 8 games or whatever it has been. When is he going to turn around offensively? It's coming. I'm confident in that. Justin Kyrie did exactly what Arizona wants him to do. 19 minutes of action, 3 of 6 in the field, 8 points. Didn't turn the ball over. That's what you need from your veteran backup point guard. Kim Akin Jr. was a very nice story, in my opinion. You know, he's probably a better shooter than he gets credit for. 12 minutes, 8 points, 2 for 4 from 3. You know, when he gets going from 3, again, Arizona is a much better team for it. But you take a look at Arizona, the 1.2 points per possession obviously is, you know, in Oregon State, 0.915. That's going to be your big difference. And, you know, there's not a lot to analyze here, right? Like, Arizona is a significantly better team than Oregon State. And the only way that Arizona was losing that game was if Arizona beat itself, right? If Arizona got cold, if Arizona, you know, had shots that just weren't getting in and turning the ball over and all that. And that didn't happen. It happened for like 2 minutes, and then the rest, you know, that was that. And Arizona dominated an Oregon State team and just kind of blew them out of the water. 18 offensive rebounds, 21 second chance points, points in the paint, 48 of 90, you know, points in the paint for Arizona, 16 fast break points, 20 assists to 33 field goals. So again, the assist numbers were high. They've actually been higher, but they were high again. But, you know, you just take a look and it's not, you know, it'd be silly to kind of just analyze the hell out of this game, because it's one of those games where one team is better than the other. They play better than the other. And if they played 10 more times, Arizona would probably win 10 more times. And that's just the kind of matchup it is. And there's going to be other matchups like this in the conference. Not this week, though. And we're going to have a couple more podcasts later this week. But this is a big week for Arizona basketball. And I'll just put out there, I'd be surprised just based on everything if they make it out of there 2-0. But if they do and they can go to Illinois and beat Illinois, they'd have to beat a solid Wyoming team that is undefeated and will be undefeated coming into McHale. You know, it's you know, they're 108 in KenPom, Wyoming, defensively not great. So, yeah, they're undefeated. They haven't necessarily played a lot of great teams, but still undefeated. But, you know, Arizona moved up to number 12 in KenPom. And they were number 20, I believe, going into the game. They now have the 24th best offense, 8th best defense. Their tempo's 12th. They actually have some luck. I don't know what that stat is, but I know that it's always been low in the past. But the reality is that also their non-conference strength of schedule was bad. Their in-conference strength of schedule, Oregon State, isn't good. And so Illinois is going to be a big test for them, right? And it's, you know, where I'm not going to pretend like Illinois is some dominant team. But at the end of the day, if it's a healthy Illinois, Illinois is a good team. Like in KenPom, they're 18th right now. It's not that big of a gap. According to adjusted offense, has a better offense than Arizona. But I don't want to get too far ahead looking at those matchups. But it's going to be a difficult week for Arizona. But that's the fun, and you know, it'll be interesting kind of seeing that competition increase a little bit this week. So we'll get to that here in a few days. With that being said, I'm Jason Shear. This is the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. Thanks again for joining us.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.